WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has some thoughts on two words that in the 80s have risen to the rank of superlative.
You can get a good snapshot of the spirit of an age by looking at the superlative words that it favors. In the 50s, the highest praise you could give to something was to say that it was cool. In the 60s, the preferred terms were groovy and far out. In the 70s, well, I don't know that there were any characteristic superlatives in the 70s, but then I don't think of that decade as having had any particular cultural zeitgeist either. But the 80s certainly do have a flavor of their own, and they have the superlatives to prove it. Let's hear two cheers for world-class and serious. The phrase world-class comes from track and field, of course. Its meaning was originally pretty straightforward. A world-class runner or pole vaulter was somebody who was up to the level of international competition. The phrase started to get a wide currency around the beginning of the decade, maybe because it got a lot of exposure during the Los Angeles Olympics, or maybe because this was the period when every pro football team was raiding the ranks of Olympic sprinters to find some world's fastest human it could try out at wide receiver. But in the course of the past few years, world-class has gotten completely out of control. You read about world-class painters, world-class health spas, and world-class wines. A newspaper article talks about world-class crime, and the New York Times quotes someone as saying that AIDS has become a world-class tragedy. I even saw a headline in Vanity Fair describing someone as a world-class diplomat. I mean, what diplomat isn't world-class? The ambassador from Cleveland? World-class is an appropriate word to use when you're talking about things that can be measured against some absolute competitive scale. In high jumping, for example, you can just set the crossbar at 7'8" and see who gets over. And I can see why you might want to extend the term to other fields of competition, like chess or auto racing. But it's odd to hear people talk about world-class musicians and world-class newspapers. How do you identify the world-class pianists? Do you have them all play the minute waltz and clock them? This extravagant use of world-class is a sign of consumerism run amok. It makes people sound as if they had access to some cosmic consumer reports, which evaluated every human achievement in terms of a single universal standard of success. If something isn't world-class nowadays, it's most likely serious. The new BMWs are advertised as having serious aerodynamics. And the new Mitsubishi Gallant goes them one better. It's a serious luxury sedan. I hear this a lot from my friend Chip, who's at the cutting edge of yuppie culture. The other day, Chip announced that he had just gone out and bought himself a serious bandsaw. Now, if you didn't know better, this use of serious might puzzle you, because bandsaws aren't the kind of products you associate with frivolity in the first place. But of course, serious doesn't mean serious here. It really means something like appealing to people who are serious about their bandsaws. In this sense, you'll even hear things like, "That's a serious pizza," or, "Hey, we're talking about serious slapstick here." These uses are jocular, of course, but the implication is that you want to approach everything from bandsaws to pizzas with the deadpan intentness of a connoisseur. World-class and serious are the accolades of a generation who pride themselves first and foremost on being discriminating consumers, who can evaluate anything as if it were prospective purchase. Like the decade itself, the language of the 80s is all business.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.